Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, by an anointing upon me, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Speak to the church, Lord, those who are looking around for answers, Lord. They're looking for solutions, Lord Jesus. Let your word reveal the thoughts of the heart. Speak to the Spirit. Build up this church body. Build up to those who are listening online. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can hear me okay? Don't worry, I'll get loud. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 6. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. The title of this message is, Do Not Be Lulled to Sleep. Get ready. Compromise, distractions, diversions, and total confusion are breaking people down, breaking society down, and people are literally in a daze. I saw this visual this past week in a video, and Katie saw it as well, where there were people on the beach with their heads in the sand, literally, like they were bent over with their heads in the sand. And many are confused. Many are lost. And just a reminder, God is not the author of confusion. Satan most certainly is the author of confusion. He is the father of lies. And this world system that is formed before our eyes is looking to break you down and have you conform to this world. The world is being conditioned for a reset. You've heard some of this already, and I'm sharing this message that you can share it with your friends and your family, those who don't understand what's going on. The world is being conditioned for a reset. The world is about to change, and it already technically has, but even the things that remain of the old life, the old normal, are being shaken to the great reset. The new world system and order that is being created before our very eyes, it is not going to be a utopia. That is a lie. It is a lie from hell. And it is going to be one that is of great control on this world to the likes that no one has ever seen. And you can only have access to the system if you have conformed to its demands. We are under constant bombardment of the thoughts of the mind, media parroting, as the system and conditioning is looking to sedate you. And I say, don't get lulled to sleep. Don't get lulled to sleep. All the elements are ripe for the world to conform to a global government. Daniel chapter 2, 40 verse 43 says, the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. A form of Rome and what the revived Roman Empire will be, that as over the entire world. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men. But they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. This world system is looking to get you off track. And others are already on the track. They are following the Pied Piper. Do you know the story of the Pied Piper? First, he deceived the village out of their money. And he came back and then played the flute to lead the children out to destruction. And the pipe is blowing and leading people to eternal destruction. Now is not the time to waver, folks. Matthew 7:13 to 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. That is Jesus' words. Peter and Paul and the whole book of Hebrews tell us to be diligent, to endure in our faith. And if we're not careful, we can easily get off the narrow path and follow the way of the world, which is the wide path, the one we are called to avoid. With all caps. Avoid. There was text going around this week about the feeling of heaviness this week, right? That the heaviness and that oppression that you feel as we're struggling through this life. We're running the race of faith. Jesus says, Peter says in 1 Peter 5:67, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. You need to understand that the King of all kings cares for you. He has plans for you. He has a hope and an expected end for you. Matthew 11, and Katie texted that as we were talking about that spirit of heaviness. 27 through 30. Listen to this. All things, what? How many things? All things have been delivered to me by my Father. All things, meaning he has what? Complete control. He is sovereign. He is king. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son will reveal to him. And he says, come to me. Come to me. Don't go to the world. Don't go to someone else. Come to me. All you who are labor and are heavy laden, that heaviness that we felt this week, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That yoke that goes on the two oxen so they can share the load. He's in control. We have to go to the source for that strength. When we are weak, then he is strong. Amen. James 1, 2 through 8, my brethren, count it all joy. Joy, a fruit of the Spirit. It rises up inside you when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing patience, and we are certainly being tested. And we are patient. Waiting for our King. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God. What's going on, God? Give me eyes to see, ears to hear the truth. And it says here, he gives to all liberally and without reproach. And it will be given to him if you just ask in his name. Let him ask in faith, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave on the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person, it says, so let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. It's decision time for many. If you have gone the wrong way, repent and get back on track with Jesus. Get back focused on Jesus. Many are in the valley of decision that is mentioned in Joel. You cannot be double-minded right now. You must make a choice. You cannot love this world and love Christ. That is a divided house, and it will not stand. I know I mentioned last week about Satan wanting to be like the Most High in Isaiah 12, right? He wants to be as God. That same spirit of Antichrist is thought to be as God. It is all over this earth right now. If you are not surrendered to Christ, if you do not believe in Him, if you do not put your faith and trust in Christ, then you are trusting in yourself. You are deciding what is good and what is bad. And that means, folks, idolatry. That means you think you are, I am. You have exalted yourself above God, and that is the lie from Satan. Adam and Eve bought it, and they bit right in. We need to check ourselves, right? Are we in the faith? Am I putting myself or something else above God? Paul said in Timothy, perilous times will come and people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of self, not of God, lovers of self. That's that I am. That's that New Age movement. It's very blended. It sounds good. It sounds like there's some Christian lingo in there, but it's really to puff yourself up. You keep pressing on, beloved. Philippians 3, 8 through 14. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and what does he do? Counts them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained it, or I'm already perfected. We get lumps in here and we make mistakes and we sin. Get back on track. Repent, get back on track. He is faithful. And Paul says here, I press on that I may lay hold for that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. If you let him hold you. My dad had this dream. I've shared this before. In the dream, he was climbing up a chain. And underneath that chain was fire, the most intense heat. And at the top of the chain was a hand, a beautiful hand, holding the chain. And my dad thought, if I could just reach that chain, I'll be okay. And he would climb up the chain. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this ugly hand came and poured oil on the chain, and he would slip down. And he tried again, and the hand came again and poured the oil on it. He slipped down. He's there hanging on it. One last link above the fire. And he cries out, God, where are you? I need you. I need your help. And God spoke to him and said, my hand is not the beautiful hand holding that chain. My hand is the nail-scarred hand pouring oil on the chain, telling you to let go, and I will catch you, and I will hold you. Lay hold of Jesus, folks. Lay hold. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, the things of old, and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. The promise of what's ahead, folks. The joy. Jesus was the example to the joy that was set before him. The things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on. These are dark days. Love not the world. Do not conform to this world. Jesus alone is worthy. That's what we sung. He deserves our focus. Matthew 24, 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. As long as they had a passport. No, just adding at it. See if you're on your toes. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and took them away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Think about those times, folks. Think about the days of Noah. Genesis 6 says, Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives. Marrying, right? They took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, Noah lived in perilous times. And unfortunately, the people around him didn't respond. They didn't care. They continued to live their ungodly lives the way they pleased. They ignored God. And God is speaking right now in this world. He is speaking through the weather. He is speaking through prophecy being fulfilled. He is speaking as he is unleashing judgment. And C.S. Lewis said, suffering is God's megaphone to arouse a lost and dying world. And the longer they persisted in Noah's time, the more unsound their reasoning became, and the harder it became for them to change. Romans 1, 21 through 28, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, they exchanged the truth of God for life. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. We are in a society where a man supposedly can have a baby. That is false. That is lies. That's from the pit of hell. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, what happens? God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. A debased mind, a reprobated mind. They can't process truth anymore. So God is about to destroy the earth in Genesis 6 as the minds have gone to a reprobate. And he tells Noah to build the ark. And what does Noah do? Verse 22 in chapter 6, he says, Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. It's obedience, folks. When God speaks, we are to listen. Amen. Are you listening? For 120 years, the people went about their daily lives, having never seen rain, passing by this crazy old man, hanging off the side of a ridiculously large boat he was building. Some of you have seen a sample of that in the Ark encounter. And he was yelling about an imminent flood that would cover and destroy the entire earth. Noah was a conspiracy theorist until it rained. Every blow of his hammer, every drag of his saw echoed throughout the land, calling for repentance, screaming ministry. And the mockers and scoffers, just like today, with their godlessness and their mocking, the vulgarity of their unbelief, hissing repulsive, sarcastic profanity. Yet, thinking about each one of you here, beloved, I can see Noah holding fast, being steadfast, just like you, a righteous man, just like you, a righteous woman, just like you, diligently hammering away, meeting the scoffers and mockers with truth and grace that you have been equipped with, folks, and he had been equipped with, confident, fully persuaded in the work that God had called them to do. You know, Peter notes, scoffers will come in the last days. Where is the promise of his coming, right? 2 Peter chapter 3. Where is the promise of his coming? This event which annihilated mankind didn't flow from revenge, folks. From God's broken heart. It said his spirit was grieved. They replaced, with free will, they just replaced the truth of God with a lie. And they repented the Lord. The entire population was thinking only about evil constantly. And those evil thoughts would have included sexual promiscuity and all kinds of perversion. Jude actually says that they pursued strange flesh. I think that's a reference to bestiality. Noah's generation was living in a world without any moral compass or restraint. Do you understand? God's magnificent creation of man became a story gone wrong. And the flood demonstrated that God, though patient, will not tolerate sin forever. His spirit will not strive forever with man. And we are living on a planet that is intoxicated with its own sexual pursuits and perversions and wickedness as millions of babies are murdered every year. How long, O Lord, they must be crying. And now the lawmakers are doubling down with a bill that all the way to birth, before a baby comes out of the womb, just before they can go in and murder that baby, dismember it. Taking a life. Murderers. You see, Noah's generation deleted God from the human mind, erasing him from their collective conscience and culture. And the disregard for the Creator is a result. It explains why there was moral corruptness found in his day. We are in the last days, folks. And similar to Noah's time, we see a systematic, step-by-step removal of God from our culture. All over the world, Christian ideals, values, they're being choked out. Do you understand that? They're being silenced. Humanity has made self-gratification king, along with being lovers of self. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. This summarizes the state of humanity today. So then the time came and the ark was completed, and Noah had finished his task. He had run his race that God told him to do, and the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household. This is chapter 7, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all the living things that I have made. In verse 16, it says, the Lord shut him in. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month. And in the 17th day of that month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. There was relentless mocking from those who would spend decades mocking Noah and his family as they built a giant ark on dry land. You proclaiming truth are being mocked at and scoffed at. The earth had not seen a rain or flood, and they have not seen Jesus return. They reject that idea. Noah seemed crazy until the rain started. What is this? And soon the entire world was covered by violent, treacherous water that created canyons in mountains and everything else that you see to destroy the inhabitants of the earth that were unrighteous before God's eyes. And we see the cup of indignation literally filling right before our eyes. We are at a tipping point, folks. A tipping point in this world. We are at the convergence of varying prophetic signs, geopolitical, technological, economical, religious, political, and military. They're all merging at the right time, at the right place, to fulfill all the things the Bible says will come to pass. And Jesus said, these things must happen. They must happen. And times are getting tough. And it'll get tougher as the love of many are waxing cold. Friends and family will be turning their backs on us as we become pariahs to the new world system. However, God has promised to us an open door that no man can shut. Revelation 3:8, that is until he shuts that door. That is until he shuts it. At the rapture of the church, our faithfulness will be vindicated. And the earth dwellers will very soon wake up to a day to sudden and imminent destruction. Until then, folks. Yeah, that was really deep. That was really heavy, wasn't it? The parallel of time. Until then, we walk in the light and we expose the darkness and we occupy and redeem the time, just as Ephesians 5:8-16 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose them. Call it what it is. Call it evil, for it is shameful even to speak those things which are done by them in secret. There's a lot going on in secret right now. But all the things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. What I say, don't get lulled to sleep. And Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Every breath you have, redeem that time. Because the days are evil. Nancy, and I'm speaking to you right now, if you're listening, and there are many others who are at their wits' end. Your strength is gone. You are not sure how much longer you can hold. Hold fast. I'm telling you right now, hold fast. Deuteronomy 13:14, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait to look for, to expect, to hope. That's what it means. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Don't give up. We are so close to the finish line. Don't give up. Cling to the hope, and it will not fail you. He will not fail you. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope. A living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible. It's undefiled and it does not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. For you. Who are kept by the power of God. You are kept by the power of God, folks. Through faith, salvation, ready to be revealed in what? The last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Here it sounds like James, right? Trials. Though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, in glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed, not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desired to look to. Because of what Jesus did, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, be awake, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the empowering presence for you to do and be what you cannot do and be on your own. At the revelation of Jesus Christ, when the trumpet sounds in the clouds, he comes in the clouds. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. Not like Lot's wife, not looking back. But he who called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's the biggest attribute of God. Yeah, God is love, but he is holy, holy, holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. That's reverential fear. Reverential fear of what's to come. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As a lamb without blemish and spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. I'm closing here, but Paul reminded Titus that Jesus' first coming brought salvation and instructs us how to live righteously, sensibly, and God lives in this present age. And it's our blessed hope, that expectation of Jesus' return, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That is now. Now faith. You need now faith, today's faith, to do this. Looking for the blessed hope. You hear that a lot in this church, but that is what we are told to do. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Going back to Noah's Ark, Jesus is the Ark. If you put your faith and trust in him, he will enter your heart, and he will seal you with the Holy Spirit. So when the day of destruction and trial comes, just as he sealed and shut them in the door of the ark, the day and trial comes upon the whole earth, you will be saved. And when on the other side that door opens of the ark, you enter into a new promised land for all eternity. The door is open to you. How do you enter that door? You must A, admit you are a sinner in need of a Savior. There is none righteous, not one, not one single person on this earth is righteous. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, the payment God demands, the wages of sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Admit you're a sinner. Repent. A change of mind, change of direction, forgetting those things that are behind. Then you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, shall be saved. All you have to do is call on the Lord. Diana, if the Spirit is speaking to you right now, and for those who want to know him, you must pray. Speak to the King directly. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I had lost my way, Lord. Forgive me. I believe that you are Lord Jesus. I believe you died on the cross for me. And I'm calling on your name right now that I would be saved. And if you pray that and you believe that in your heart, it's not the magic of the words. It is faith. It's true faith. Your past will be behind you. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Your sins are far from the east as to the west. Just like Paul, he was once Saul, and he had such a rugged past, and he became new, and he became Paul, and he became zealous for God. Today is the day of salvation. Don't tarry any longer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you for your word. Let us not be lulled to sleep by the ways of this world. Strengthen us. Give us a confidence, fully resting in the hope that you are. And you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, Lord Jesus. Strengthen this church body. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.